Hello, I'm Vicky Butler-Henderson, and this is the second episode of the newly named Refuel podcast with Historics. In this episode, we will be looking at a car fit for a king, King Charles III, to be precise, as he puts one of his cars up for auction, and we will be giving you suggestions on what to buy from £5,000 all the way up to £50,000. Let's go!
Buying or selling a classic car? Head to historics.co.uk or click below for a free valuation.
So I am joined today by YouTuber and car fan Tom Exton.
Hello.
And auction expert Matthew Priddy.
Hello.
And we are actually coming to you from Ascot Racecourse. We're just ahead of the first auction for Historics of 2024. So we will be discussing the fabulous royal car that is up for sale. And we'll also be discussing in this podcast the future of electric cars. A quick brief mention of the Oscars, which is happening around the time that we're recording this now. So we're suggesting our most iconic film cars, plus my current TV catnip. Netflix Drive to Survive is back, and anything else that crops up. So to our first topic, the royal car, which by the time you are listening to this will hopefully have been sold at our Ascot auction.
Yes, hopefully for record figures. It's going to be very interesting to see. We've seen staggering results for Queen's cars, Princess Diana cars. This is a particularly special car because it was the first electric car that was bought by the royal family. It was an I-Pace that was delivered to, at the time, Prince Charles. It was actually in, I think it was a Moonstone or a Grey, but he wanted it in his Loire Blue, which is a colour that he always likes his cars in, fairness. So it went straight back, repainted in Loire Blue. It would have gone through special vehicles because it also has been seen with the blue flashing lights.
Oh, nice.
So little trailers.
Could they keep it?
Oh, sadly, you'd not. They'll have to take them when they sell
it's
them.
It's just a fuse, isn't it? Just pop it back
in.
Yeah, shouldn't say that.
But it's a great
story. Too late now, anyway.
Because the lady that owns it now, she actually was just looking for an I-Pace. Scouring the auto trader, found a really good spec I-Pace. Well, that's nice. It's round at the local garage. I think it was in Poole, I think. Went round to go and have a look. The advert said it was grey. This isn't grey, this is blue. I quite like it. And said, well, there's a story to tell about that. And then he went through the provenance of the car, at which point she said, well, I've got to have it, of course. So she's bought it just as a regular I-Pace, but very well specced. In a one-off colour that no one else has ever had.
No, exactly. It is a one-off colour.
And not really thought anything about the provenance other than it being a nice story until she's thinking about buying a new one, realising that there's quite a gap to buy a new one and maybe the provenance could make a difference.
Yeah, definitely. That garage, they might be kicking themselves by now.
Well, I think they're not. I think genuinely they're not allowed to sell on the basis of it being a royal car. I think there's a contract in place with Jaguar Land Rover. Someone may tell us better, write in the comments.
Yeah.
But, it was an amazing story how she's come about it.
Yeah,
but
that's so lovely.
Lots of videos and pictures.
Because you guys get a lot of royal cars here. Is that ordinarily how it happens, or is it like a different way it kind of finds its way in each time?
I think a lot of it spirals from cars you've offered before. So we had, I think, the Queen's X-Pace a year or two ago, then the Queen's Range Rover.
And she prefers green, right, by the looks
Balmoral
of it?
Green.
Yeah.
Balmoral green was always a colour that there was always a very royal colour. He likes this colour, blue. He's got obviously quite a collection, but not many come to. But this is one of the sort of regular cars. As I said, loads of filming that was done with it. So it's quite obvious. And it was on an original plate, which was then taken back by the DVLA. It's obviously one of the royal plates assigned to the family. But we've got the proof of it being on the HPI certificate, so we know it's the right car, the right plate.
Well, on the original sort of V5 document or anything, does it say that, a royal household or...?
No, that's... Because nowadays the V5s don't give you previous owner's details, sadly.
Yeah. Sadly. Oh, do you know, I've got a Mark 1 Fiesta that Granny bought in 1978, mm-hmm. and I've still got her
originals
of V5 unit when I moved over. So our names are
on it, which is
lovely.
I mean, everyone used to like that, but I think obviously for reasons of personal security.
GDPR, data protection.
And all that.
Yeah.
Boring.
I'd like to see Prince
Let
Charles
us be
on
nosy. Yeah.
But hopefully, by the time you see this, I mean, it would have sold hopefully for record figures, and it will be all over the news. That's what we hope.
Well, you've already been in the news because you've been quoted in most of the national newspapers about this car and various news outlets online and what have you.
It's gone strong in the States, not surprisingly, because they're quite a fan of the royal family, aren't they? And of course, he's not been well recently, so it sort of trajectory sort of boosted a little bit there. But it's well known. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah, and the car itself isn't bad. In 2019, it was the car of the year.
Mm. They're so actually brilliant. As a car, beginning the royal stuff, it's actually one of my favourite EVs.
Yeah.
They did a great job. But they've had to discontinue it, right?
Well, yeah, this is the thing, isn't it? So this brings us on to the next topic of the future of electric vehicles. This I-Pace is going to be discontinued as Jaguar then makes way for its brand new fleet of electric cars in 2025.
Completely redesigning, aren't they? Becoming more, is it more upmarket they're going? Bentley-esque sort of style.
We'll see.
I think that's the idea.
Well, they've had that idea before, I think, haven't they?
We shall see.
Yeah.
So what do we think is the way forwards for electric cars? Because I know that lots of people are resto modding things. I've seen recently a couple of Range Rovers that have been, you know, Mark 1 Range Rovers that have been electrified and made much more luxurious.
Yeah, I mean, there's the soul problem, isn't it? If you're taking the soul out of the car, i.e. the car was about the engine, then it's just ludicrous. It's just silly. If the car, the part of the engine was the part of the car, an Alfa Romeo, for instance, then you're just ruining the car. If it was a car that had no soul from an engine point of view, I can kind of understand it, but you're only doing it really to get around tax or get it into an inner city. You're not doing it because you really want to do it. You're doing it almost by necessity. And the costs are astronomical.
I know. Well, couple of Range Rovers I've seen, £350,000.
I've got a real issue with them because it's the whole thing about sustainability, right?
Yep.
Electric car, it's sustainable, it's green, blah, blah, blah. But one of the least sustainable things you can do is take something that's been on the road for 50, 60 years, however long, with it, all its parts that were manufactured all that time ago, the carbon footprint, putting all those things together, ripping all of that out, chucking most of that away, and then buying in batteries that have been dug out the floor on the other side of the world and sticking it back in there just to dodge £12 going to London every now and again, which they're about to drop, and maybe a bit of VAT off your corporation bill, whatever. I don't know. I don't think...
Yeah,
for me, I appreciate that it's being done. Cool. That's a niche of a niche.
But wasn't that the point of the designers, when designers make cars, new cars, reflect old cars? It's to suit that market, because when we... Ford GT40...
Yeah.
And then remade the GT40. I mean, it wasn't practically made like that. It was made to look like the original.
Yeah.
And thus, they're making it a usable car for a more modern motorist.
Yeah.
I think it's a difficult... I can understand, and I've got no problem with anything that prolongs classic cars, but I think there's a bit of a... It's a bit of a mishmash at the moment. And we all know the problem with batteries is they sort of... They only have a small shelf life.
Yeah.
So whatever you're doing, especially in technology, technology moves so fast,
yep,
much faster than we did with making cars, that, you know, within 10 years, a £300,000 Land Rover is going to be worth nothing because all the batteries are useless.
Well, look at a Taycan. Porsche is probably one of those brands. They just don't get anything wrong. Everything they put out is amazing, by and large. And the Taycan now, the new one they just released, almost has double the range of the last one. It's only been out like 3 years. And the values of those have more than halved. Yeah, that's how quickly it's going. I mean, they're like iPhones. Look at an iPhone 8 years ago. You wouldn't even think of
Well, the idea of a classic car is it lasts.
Mm.
The idea of an electric car, I think, is more like a white good. It's more of an iPhone, isn't it? You know, you have an iPhone, you replace it every year.
Yeah.
And the idea is after 3 years, it just gets binned or recycled, hopefully. Yeah. And I think that's the crux of it. That's where how does that sort of work with one another? Because at the moment, I'm not sure. And I think the whole revolution of electric cars seemed like a great idea. And now everyone's almost bagging it and thinking, I'm not sure.
Green fuels, e-fuels is the way to go, in my opinion. Yeah. But don't worry, because we can still buy diesel petrol cars till 2035.
Isn't it? Is it Mercedes? They've just gone back on it. They've said, no, we're not just going to do EVs now. We're just going to carry on churning out things.
They've still got to win the race, haven't they? And if you're winning the race by selling petrol and hybrids rather than full EVs, then you're going to do that right up until the last minute.
Yeah.
How many EVs were sold last year in the UK, new cars, so in 2023? What percentage of new cars?
It's all fleet, isn't it?
You're going to tell us, I think.
I have got the answer. Any guesses, though?
Okay, let's go. 38%.
Oh, gosh. Really?
I don't know.
Early 20s.
I'm thinking of new cars, how much of a percentage of it is fleet, and everything fleet seems to be going that way. That's my thought.
23%.
18.
Oh, it's a lot of
18%. So it's not as much as as I think the hype.
People driving around the country, anyone in any form of workforce that's going around the country and doing sporadic journeys, you know, anyone in construction, whatever, they're not touching EV because they have to do so many miles and it's ludicrous. And anyone that's in transporting people, they'll only buy an EV if they're absolutely forced to. Uber drivers or whatever in London, they're buying EVs, but it's basically ruining their business.
There's a place for them, and actually in the cities.
I love driving my Tesla, and you drive electric every day. Yeah,
absolutely love it.
So we've
just bagged electric cars for 5 minutes, and you guys both drive electric cars.
We have a selection. I mean, you are not an electric car today. You are the opposite.
Today, no.
Likewise, but usually we both arrive in electric cars and hide them around the corner.
Right, on to our next topic then. Cars that we can buy at auction which are not electric.
Mm-hmm.
from £5,000 to £50,000. So we thought that this would be a nice idea if you've got a budget and that you're thinking, oh, I'll just dabble my toes into my sort of first auction buy. So I've just gone a little guide as to what we've got here at today's auction, but just to give you a general sense of what you could possibly get. So for £5,000, I have plumped for a 1975 Citroën 2CV.
Ooh.
Super classic.
My mum had one of those. Yep. She loved it. She gave it a name and I've forgotten it.
She loved that name.
She still talks about it.
Oh, does she?
Yeah.
See,
a bit weird.
She talks about it more fondly.
Yeah, I was going to say,
she definitely preferred that car to both of her children.
And this is why I've recommended it. And a 1988 MG Metro that we've got here as well. So this is, that's my kind of rough £5,000.
See, I was looking around. I was looking last night and I flicked through ours and then I thought, oh, actually, what else would I buy if I was thinking of something? And it was a conversation with one of the motoring journalists last month. Generation 1 Audi TT.
Oh, that's
manual
a
225
great
car.
Idea.
You can find that. A quick look.
Yeah.
You can find them for £5,000.
Yeah.
Do you remember the one that the seats look like a baseball?
Yes.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah. I did the launch of that when I was working on Top Gear television. And that was the one thing that blew my mind.
Good.
Was this baseball leather stitching on the corners.
So
it's fantastic.
Good.
I mean, they were bonkers made because obviously they then realised the aero was wrong after actually letting the car out. Okay, we've got to put a wing on it. And then, but even now, that generation one, they then ruined it after the lesser generations after have become near. But the first generation, a bit like the Audi A2, my opinion counts, but a bit like the A2, so it just meant it was like spaceship looking. And I said, you don't have to buy it in silver, though. You've got to buy it in silver. You've got a manual, and you may as well pump for the 225, because everyone always recognises it had two exhaust pipes rather than one.
Yeah.
And I had a V6 one, which was the first car to have the dual clutch fluffy paddles, and that was ace, but you couldn't buy them for five.
Yeah.
But I think,
that's a great idea. Yeah, great show.
Design icon. I think it comes under that heading of, like, iconic design that will never, ever be forgotten.
And the TT gets
binned. That's a great shout.
Yeah,
so
beautiful.
The TT's
might have to act on that before this goes out to the ether.
Moving up then to the £15,000 category, pick of my bunch, I was thinking 2005 M3 convertible that we've got here. Honestly, I had an M3 convertible, and I thought that it could potentially be the only car you would ever need. So you've got some seats in the back, you could have a roof. When it didn't rain, you could take the roof down. I've transported a Christmas tree in it,
perfect,
various bits and bobs from, you know, from DIY shops.
Key metrics here.
When I had it, I was like, well, actually, this could be the only car I'd ever need.
I totally agree. I have one. I have a 2013, so the latter generation, but was it a metal folding roof in 2005?
No, softy.
It was a slashable one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think the latter one, the bit, not the...
I don't think that's the marketing term.
It wasn't in the brochure. But the latter one, obviously, has got the metal folding roof, so it hasn't got that silly sort of back window. I think they're amazing. You're right.
Yeah.
Manual one of those.
And BMW Zoom Studios, they seem to drop right down to very, very affordable. And then everyone suddenly goes, oh, I like BMWs. And then they creep up again in value.
Yeah.
So I think it's not a bad chance.
An SMG version of what you've just said, 2005 one, if you get that, you can get the manual converted, like, relatively cheap.
Oh.
So you can buy a cheap one that's got like low miles, great provenance, great condition, then you can swap out the gearbox relatively easily.
And put a manual in?
Apparently so. Yeah, and you can do it with the M5 V10s and you can do it with the M6 V10s. So I was eyeing up getting a M6
you
V10.
You were talking about that,
and manual swapping it.
Yeah.
Tom, it was so worth you coming here today just for that info.
Thank you. Right, cheers. I've been of use for the first time in 2 years. I can go now.
So that's, what, 15? What else have you thought? Oh, you've seen the Model T.
The Model T, a 1927 Ford Model T, that for around that kind of price. I don't know, where do you sit
that's
with
wild,
that?
I had to jump in the other day and start it, and by the time I'd started it would have been easier just to get the horse out. It took forever. So hang on, pull that, push that, check that, tap that, taps on.
It's not a sort of start up and go machine, but just for the whole sense of the motoring story.
I think it's like driving a vintage car like that. It actually is, because it's such a task, it's actually such a challenge, it's enjoyable.
Yeah.
And actually, the heart is pounding every moment, thinking, have I got everything right? How were the brakes? Brakes. And then you get used to it and get comfortable, and then something will trip you up, and it's still, you always have the adrenaline running, as if you're driving 150 miles an hour at 20.
You've got no seatbelts, so you basically are.
Well, you just bail out.
Yeah,
it goes wrong, you just jump out.
Okay, the £25,000 category, I came up with a 2005 Maybach.
Oh, yeah, that's 20. Is that what they are?
Yes.
It would be £25,000 a year.
But right? No, it wouldn't be that much.
Actually, at £25,000, genuinely, they not break for that, but because they're so expensive, parts, that actually they become worth their parts. They can't, they physically won't go below that figure. Because those which exist, they need that. So they almost, they have that, they've
but
dropped.
But that, honestly, is one of the most underrated cars, the Maybach. The size and the luxury and the space that you get for that kind of money, I couldn't ignore that for 25 grand.
And I think the early ones, the sort of the first Maybachs they brought out, the modern Maybachs they brought out, I think they were almost like over-engineered. And I think the latter ones became a bit more of a churn.
Yeah.
I think they became like
S-Class
pluses.
S-class,
But I think the early ones with the 57 and the kind of, you know, in the era
long
where Jay-Z and co used to just roll around in them and that was like the thing. I think those
Well, even when you get in one today,
cheap.
It's ridiculous. I mean, the front, you think, this is a bit old. Get in the back, you think, wow, this is incredible. And then it really makes you think about the old Rolls-Royce sedans and the old you know, when you sit in the back and the person up front is irrelevant. It's all about this great big lounge, first class seat.
They are superb,
else.
Yeah.
That's
so that
wild.
Would be my tip.
Great shout.
50 grand then, the 50 grand mark.
So,
go on.
I was thinking, because I was thinking along, again, I was checking out, I was looking at the NSXs and I was looking at what we've got in Japanese, what the JDM market's doing, and you can buy an R35, is it R35? R35 GTR. For that money, and look what that marketplace is doing. I can't
ballistic.
See that. And I'm thinking that would be a great buy.
Yeah.
It's modern at the moment, but God almighty, has everyone gone mad for Japanese cars?
That generation that grew up on Need for Speed and all those games, they're now, they've now got cash and they're like, right, I'm going to buy the thing that I grew up
on. I mean,
with.
I feel like if I drove it, everyone would look at me like, who's that Urk? But, you know, same time.
You don't even have to be in a car for that.
No, well,
tint the windows, mate. It's fine.
But that really sets it off, then, doesn't it? I tint the windows too. I put an exhaust pipe like that on there. Light flames out of it. But yeah, they were incredible.
No, they're fantastic bits of kit. Yeah, got a huge love for that. That's a lovely shout.
And you can buy a lot of Ferrari.
Yeah, well, we have one here, 328 GTS. Which I thought could.
You can get that. That's a great.
And then that's not a bad investment either.
No, you can also. I mean, I looked around. You can get. Into 360s, but the F1 gearbox at that level.
Okay.
The problem is that collectible one is the manual, but still, you're in a Ferrari at £50,000. They don't really get cheaper than that, unless it's a Mondial. And even they're coming back up in value. There is one car we skipped over. I just want to say car at £15,000, because I was looking at this last time. Okay, we've had them in auction before. We haven't got one this time. But there's a reason I thought this. Mini Cooper, John Cooper Works GP. The GP edition, which has got two seats and like a frame in it, you can buy a sensible mileage, 60, 70,000 mile car for £15,000, right?
Yeah.
Think of what the Clio Williams V6 has done recently. They're circa £40,000, £50,000. And I remember them being at this rate. I genuinely think it's top tip. I'd get into one of those.
And the early GPs were the rarer ones as well, weren't they? Are you talking about the supercharged one? I think the first one was supercharged.
I think so, But I think any of them, they're going to be, because the phase one and phase two V6s are the same. They've all become very collectible because they're ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I like that.
Nice, and there are not many of them about.
And the GPs were numbered, I think, on the roof as well.
Yes,
they're awesome. That's a good shout.
Cool looking things.
Yeah, we're all learning something today.
This is good. I haven't brought anything to the party, though, so sorry.
That's all right, you got the clipboards. We need you still.
Okay, movie star cars. So the Oscar ceremony is around now. Movie star cars, most iconic ones. I would like to offer up a few, if I may.
Please.
You've probably stolen all the easy ones.
Lotus Esprit, Spy Who Loved Me.
Oh, yes.
Underwater. Well, it's just purely, it's a boat, it's a car, it's everything.
It actually looks better in that James Bond than you ever see them otherwise. I've seen them at auction, I'm like, it just looks like an old Lotus. But if you make it look like the James Bond, you're like, that is the coolest thing in the world.
The DeLorean from Back to the Future, iconic, really.
I would love to know how many DeLoreans are actually made up to look like the Back in the Future car versus how many DeLoreans are standard. Because if I had one, I would be like,
flux capacitor?
Actually, I'm going to have to stick all this stuff on it. It makes sense.
And then my last one to, I don't know, I've got a few to choose from. Anyway, I think the Italian Job, the Mini Coopers.
Yeah, they're so iconic.
Super cute. Film-wise, that's my
offering. We knew someone a couple of years ago that auctioned a car. He had three Mini Coopers and he bought a bus. And then he went a tour in Italy with this freaking great big bus, which would get three Minis in it.
I love that.
And three coloured Minis. Yeah. And then he came to sell it all as a package.
Oh,
perfect.
On a fifth gear item, I teamed up with one of the original drivers from a stunt driver in one of the Minis. And I think that was me, Jason Plato, was it Tiff? I can't remember. They merge into one. Only joking. And we did exactly that. We drove the minis up into on a runway. It was really fun. It was so much fun. But I tell you what is quite shocking is when you go from the road and you go up that ramp and then you have got a very short distance to stop. Yeah. It's like everything's. You're on the brakes.
Yeah, I can imagine that being slightly frightening.
Yeah, exactly. Whoa. All right, so you are going to.
And you have no safety, and it's literally just you and the outside, a few millimetres.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hard.
It's very impressive.
Is there any good modern day cars for movies that you can think of? Because now it used to be all about car chase. Remember the Ronin with the very understated, was it a 406 and a BMW that did that particular car chase? Then I saw one, was it Underground 6 with a GTA? Alfa Romeo, but is there anything that's really been?
Was there an Audi S8 and was it Taken?
Audi S8. That was in that
Smashing
was
Around Paris.
That was. What was it Taken? There's a few of them, but there's not quite. There doesn't seem to be as iconic as they used to be.
Taxi made me want a Peugeot. What was it? A Peugeot 405 or something with a body kit, whatever it was. I mean,
James Bond seems to start rolling out the old cars now. They've gone in reverse, haven't they? We'll keep rolling out a DB5 or a DBS.
Yeah.
Not that.
We took a look at the new Astons
and thought, nah.
All about the classics.
Yeah, absolutely.
And TV catnip. Oh my giddy aunt. Netflix, Drive to Survive. Okay, this is season 6. And I know that we all know the formula now. But this year, and I have actually binged it. I've been working really hard. But like at home when I'm doing emails and stuff like that, I've got it on
my iPad. If anyone's received an email from Vicky in the last month, there's no spelling errors at all, then you'd be doing well because it's just been.
So this year though, it takes us through the Stroll, Lance and Lawrence, father and son sort of combination and boss employee situation. And if you remember this time last year, Lance broke his wrist and stuff like that. So there's that going on. Yeah. Nyck de Vries, Formula E champion, went to AlphaTauri.
Yeah, either
one. That one. Yep. And then he got booted out. Daniel Ricciardo came in. Lewis was interestingly there's a section there where Lewis is thinking about. Looking into renewing his contract, which obviously he did.
Yeah.
Because the trouble with the Netflix is we are 12 months behind.
Oh, I was this. If they could make it like 3-4 months behind, how incredible would that be?
Yeah.
So you're literally, you've watched it in a couple of months later, you're then inside, you're getting the behind the scenes story. I suppose it'd screw the editing time up a bit, but it would be great.
Exactly. I know it would.
Yeah. The whole Lewis thing's weird because I got told in Abu Dhabi that he was going to Ferrari. Someone that would know in F1. Said to me, well, we'd all had a few drinks, and he said he's going to Ferrari.
Yeah. So people never speak to Tom again.
Well, and he said keep your mouth shut. So and then I
which
dismissed.
You did.
I dismissed well it as done. Nonsense. That's the only reason I didn't tell anyone. I just thought it's nonsense. He's just trying to be big and clever. But actually, it turns out. That
but also,
that's
if you're,
what happened,
if you're so Lewis's agent, you'd be putting the story out as well because you'd want to get the best contract. So they always would have the story. Mm. Would always be doing the rounds just to get the best out of Mercedes.
But on and this Netflix though, it shows that Lewis is signing a 2-year contract with Mercedes. So that has happened. Mm. But it doesn't say anything about the 1-year break clause, which is what he
had
used. But to be honest, if I was Lewis Hamilton, I would go to Ferrari now, and 100%. I think he's done the absolute right thing. I'm very sorry, and it's sad. I know for everyone at Mercedes and the big team who work behind it, because I'm sure that they see him as a total talisman. Yeah. But for him as a racing driver, good on him.
But also, we don't know for certain whether Mercedes have got a good car or a bad car yet. Even in testing, they could have a bit of sandbag.
But also, they don't know if Ferrari's going to have one next year.
We don't
year.
Know if Ferrari
it's
have said to
gamble.
Him, well, you know, we're sandbagging this year because we want to go for next year. They don't know. We don't know a lot of these things that they're told. Mm. Because you always remember the Brawn scene, whereby basically they came from nowhere because they were developing a year ahead. And the reason why Red Bull are so far ahead is because they've got the championship nailed halfway through the season. They're already thinking about the next season. So those dynamics in those teams could be at any point, you know, Mercedes could be on for a good year this year. Doesn't look like it, but they could be. Equally, Ferrari may have made some promises about 2 years' time that may suit him.
I think it's just cash
he wants
and
another one, though.
The uniform. And I don't blame him for
it.
Well,
it's a retirement
things.
Thing, isn't it?
I absolutely don't. Who doesn't want to drive for Ferrari? Everyone. Even they're driving around at the back. I would rather drive for them than pretty much any other team. It's sod winning. I just want to wear the
I've raced a Ferrari a couple of times, and I've got a Ferrari.
Have you?
A pair of overalls.
I've been wearing it into these podcasts every single day.
I'll be in there.
Wear it to Waitrose, the whole lot.
Wearing them as pajamas. 100%.
And I wouldn't let anyone not know about it. Yeah. My opening gambit. It's the coolest brand on earth.
Oh,
it's so good.
But just one thing that I do need to say about the Drive to Survive thing. So please do watch, because it's really good fun to watch. Even if you're not that interested in Formula One yet, it's a really good, wonderful human story behind it. It's a story about Liam Neeson, who came in. Or is he the actor?
He's the actor.
Yeah.
He's the guy in Taken.
Great actor. Is he trying to catch someone in a Formula
Lawson.
One
Lawson, thank you. Yeah,
close
enough. I have met Liam Neeson, actually, aside, who was one of the most fantastic human beings.
Really?
Yeah, on a radio show. He has massive hands.
Good Lord.
Anyway, back to Liam Lawson. And he did so well as he came in as a reserve driver for AlphaTauri, and then he didn't get the drive, even though he was quicker than his teammate. And that is quite a bitter pill to swallow. So you see all sides of life in this season. So
sport, isn't it? It's a bit cutthroat.
Also, any other TV shows that anyone could recommend for anyone to watch, car wise? May I suggest
something?
What's your one? I was going to say, is this a bit of a lead in for a promo?
No, yeah, exactly. My YouTube channel is available.
I was going to say that. The Car Girl.
Thank you.
There we go.
I happened to stumble across a DeLorean story, a three-part story on Netflix about John DeLorean.
I've seen the promo on this.
It is amazing footage, including footage of when he gets arrested for all sorts of things. So
please,
if you want to spend
a great story, actually. I've not watched the documentary, but it is a great story.
He built this factory in Belfast. The government gave him £80 million to launch, you know, and make the DeLorean car, which we have just discussed. It, you know, his iconic film car, and then it all goes pear-shaped.
Completely pear-shaped.
So I'd recommend that.
I'm going to surprise my girlfriend this evening. What should we watch? And I say a three-part series on the DeLorean. I'll try and take a photo of her face and bring it in for the next podcast.
Followed by Drive to Survive until the morning.
I'm on the edge as it is. I think that would boot me completely over it.
But it's a proper Netflix and chill night.
She'd be asleep almost immediately.
Okay, today's quiz. So, we have heard it already, but can you remember? The Prince Charles car is in Loire blue, which is his favourite. But what is the actual colour grey that was the original grey?
I thought it was Moonstone. I've had so many greys. Graphite.
I haven't seen the spec sheet, so I don't know. No. Sorry, everyone.
Iger.
Oh, that's like a JLR colour as well. I actually had a car in that colour.
I wrote the description.
I know.
I've forgotten it.
You would know. Okay, which car was Charles given by his mummy on his 21st birthday?
Oh, I don't know this.
DB6 Volante.
Oh.
As you do.
Yeah, thanks, mum.
Yeah, exactly.
In
2008... with the DB6 Volante, Prince Charles, which he was then, modernised the engine, but in what way?
Did he vantage spec it?
Didn't he make it runnable on like orange juice or something?
Perfect.
Cooking oil.
Well done. Yeah, he made it E85 bioethanol compatible, produced, and the bioethanol was produced on his duchy estate. Literally keeping it in the family.
There you go.
What car did King Charles give his son William for his 17th birthday?
DB6 Volante.
not a clue.
VW Golf.
Oh, you'd be fuming.
You'd
be like, right, what? How does this work? And I was watching The Crown the other day, and he is batting around in the Golf, and I was thinking, where's that Golf come from? But now that makes sense. There you go.
Love it. Princess Anne has an unusual fondness for a now defunct car brand. It started when her parents bought her one of these when she was 20. What is it?
I mean, there's only a few defunct car brands on there, but
no idea. Go on.
Well, I think it's a Scimitar, but I forgot to write down the answer, so I'm going on my memory.
get in the comments.
But yes, answer that for us.
Yes, could you quickly Google it for me, lovely, lovely producer Ed? Okay, which car is said to have been the late Queen's favourite?
The late Queen's favourite would have been a Land Rover. Series 1.
Range Rover, surely.
One of the most unlikely.
Not that Jag
cars.
Estate thing. Not the X-Type.
No. I don't know.
the 1961 Vauxhall Cresta PA Fairy Estate.
On the tip of our tongues.
I know.
We don't even know what that is.
What a fairy estate. That's an amazingly niche name.
She was trolling when she gave that answer in an interview, surely.
I feel like it's like Woody
or something.
Is that
right? Check my answer out now. The fairy estate. Scimitar.
The Lion Scimitar, yeah.
There we go. And I remembered that. Well, I did remember it, but was sceptical about it because my dad had a Reliance Scimitar one time. Okay, this is a picture round, last round. What is... When would you see this?
It's a polo thing, so... Is it a polo player?
This is a sculpture of St. George slaying the dragon.
Oh, is it?
You wouldn't see that anywhere in London because it would have been ripped off immediately.
What car is it on?
It's on a Bentley.
Okay. So when would you see that?
Oh, so on occasions?
Yeah. Oh.
Some sort of like horse parade, jazz.
It's St. George's Day.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, they should do it for St. George's Day. Also my dad's birthday. So it is actually it's on a state car, the Bentley Arnage State Limousine, 400 brake horsepower V8. And it is, you know, the panoramic sort of glass roof house, that one. And it is on display when a sovereign is on board that particular car. So when the Queen was on it or when King Charles is going to be in it. Yeah. You see that?
A bit like the flag at Windsor.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? Okay. I'd never known that before.
No, I know.
Oh, I did bring something to the party.
You did.
But it's not very useful.
Picture of a horse on a Bentley. Next time you see the royals driving around.
Yeah.
You can tell if it's a real royal.
Only in that car. Well, thankfully, probably for your ears, that brings us to the end of this Historics podcast. We would love to see you at any of the auctions throughout the year. Please have a look on all of the socials and the website because all the dates will be on there.
Now, although we're at the wonderful Ascot auction here, of course, this will be aired just before our Farnborough auction in May. And if you are still looking to get your car consigned or would like one of our specialists to come out and view your car, please do get in contact. Visit the website historics.co.uk and we'll come and assess the value of your car and see if we can get that into that sale for you.
Brilliant. Oh, until next time. Thank you for listening and watching. Bye-bye.
Bye.